Welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And we're going to talk about fiction, allegory, metaphor on this edition of the program. I had a question at a recent conference. Is there a role for metaphor? Is there a role for fiction? Or do we just have our children reading the nonfiction books? How does metaphor fit into the picture? I mentioned the parables of Jesus provide some metaphor. And so, hey, we can apply metaphor as long as the metaphor points to reality instead of becoming an escape from reality. And so, you know, that's the basic answer to the question. But we wanted to have a further discussion on this with Chuck Black, who is an author of a number of stories for kids. These are fiction stories. He's done the Kingdom series, the Knight series, the Wars of the Realm trilogy. Something like 19 books out at this point. And Chuck is a homeschooling dad, 6 adult children, 7 grandchildren, and as I said, the author of 19 books. Welcome, Chuck, to the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about fiction. I mean, you see a use for it. You know, I mean, I write mainly nonfiction. I, you know, have done a couple of short stories along the way, but most of my stuff is nonfiction. But you decided to take on, you know, some fiction stories. And I know a lot of people like that genre, but it's something tricky about it because you want to be sure that you're communicating a biblical worldview, not just in the story itself, but in the way in which the story is communicated. So how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the, you know, the qualms that some people might have with that. And, you know, I did enjoy fiction as a young person growing up, but as I entered into my season of being a father, I did struggle with, you know, how much fiction, what kind of fiction is good, you know, is it really, is there value in it, you know? And so when I sat down to write a book, which I didn't really intend on doing that, it was kind of something that the Lord just pushed me toward through devotions with my children. I started to write a fictional story, and it had an impact on my kids that I just didn't expect. And it was a little bit, it was surprising and quite honestly a little bit discouraging at first. you know, I really wanted them to get as excited about the stories in Scripture more so than a fictional story that I'd written. But, you know, allegory, I think, is a special vehicle for instilling truth. And so when I wrestled with that and went to the Scripture to find my answer, to find some peace about it, the Lord just really helped me realize that there is power in metaphorical or allegorical fiction, I believe, more so than just regular fiction. Regular fiction can have some impact and definitely teach, you know, spiritual truth, but there's something special about allegory, I think.
And you've seen the trap that some kids fall into where they're just sort of lost in the fantasy world. And so there's something of a ditch there, I guess. How would you avoid that as an author?
Man, that's tough. Escapism is an issue today, I think, especially with media being as prolific as it is and enticing as it is. And that can happen even through literature, especially in the worlds of, I believe, fantasy and that sort of thing, where it loses a little bit of a connection with reality. I think for me personally, I just had some strong convictions about not really delving too far into the fantasy elements that entice you away from reality. And so I think that's part of it. And I think the rest of it really just comes from that relationship with the parents and the children, making sure that they stay grounded in the world.
And you still want to communicate a message at the end of the day. It's not just a story, but it's a story about something. What's the message that you set out to communicate to kids?
Well, and that is so key, Kevin. And I think that's where there's an extra beauty in allegory. Oftentimes, Christian fiction can come off as a little preachy or a little pushy. And allegory allows you to really dig into the deep spiritual truths without feeling preachy or pushy. And so that's what I love about allegory. And I think that for me as an author, if we're not teaching scriptural truth, if we're not encouraging young people to discover that vibrant relationship with Christ, I'm just wasting my time and I don't want to be doing it. So for me, the message is, can you discover Jesus Christ through this story? And does it deepen your relationship with him? Does it reveal scriptural truth at a spiritual level, down at the soul where the heart lives, you know? And I think that that's just absolutely critical when an author takes up his pen to entice young people.
How do you do that in the Kingdom series, for example?
Well, in the Kingdom series, you know, I like to say that I chose allegory, but the truth is I think allegory chose me. What I did is I just started actually with the story of Christ, and I wanted my kids to fully comprehend what Jesus did on the cross, you know, the impact, the intersection of holiness with the fallen aspect of mankind through his presence here on earth and through his death and resurrection. So I just started out with the story of a prince who comes from a kingdom across the sea, and he's dressed as a pauper, but he's a master of the sword, and he just quietly starts to raise up an army of amazing knights to do battle against the evil Dark Knight and his shadow warriors. And so I started to allegorize that image that I had of Christ coming down and teaching us how to put on spiritual armor and do battle against evil. And so, the goal was to enliven them and help young readers realize they are part of this dramatic play that's staged here on planet Earth, and they can either sit and watch or they can get involved.
How do you picture a faith in God in the story? You know, so much of the stories tend to focus man upon man as the source of his own salvation, but I guess I've grappled with how do you convey that in nonfiction? I mean, obviously, there's always a hero in the story, but how do we find that our power, our salvation, our redemption comes from outside of us?
Yeah, great question. You know, honestly, in the allegory of the Kingdom series and the Knight series, that was actually a fairly easy transition, and the reason is because the medieval times already have the elements of a king and a prince and this royalty and this sense of awe and respect and service, you know, to a king. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to borrow that really quite easy, and it adapted quite well, especially since scripture uses the symbolism of really a lot of the armor of the knight in so many spiritual ways. So that was pretty easy. Where I struggled later on was in trying to accomplish that in my most recent series, a science fiction series. So I had to kind of replicate that in a way that was really challenging. But I think to understand that, like you said, it's so important. You know, the superhero movies are all about the power, you know, that man can bring, and that just completely puts the emphasis in the wrong place. And it needs to be on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the King. And I think if you have a chance to get into the Kingdom series and the Knight series, you'll really feel that passion in my writing to amplify that.
Is there a sense of God's existence in the stories?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The Knights in the Kingdom series and the Knight series encounter the prince. They encounter the king, and that sense of humility, I think it is, just being humbled before someone so great, so powerful, so holy. Again, obviously, it's a weak replication of the truth. You know, I'm not going to deny that. It's just my feeble writings. But you know, I'm borrowing from that sense of awe we have when we read the scriptures, and the goal isn't to get them wrapped up in my story. The goal is to push them and point them back to the Bible, so that they can partake of it with a fresh perspective.
Do your kids read the books?
They do. Yes, they do.
What do they think?
Well, I'd love to have yes them now, but no, they've all really loved it. In fact, it was interesting because my younger kids kind of grew up with me writing them, and I would use them as kind of my beta readers. I'd read it out loud to them and kind of get a feel for that, and then adjust the story a little bit. And then a few years later, my youngest daughter, Abby, she was about 15, 16. She ended up just picking up a book, and one of my books, and started reading. And she came to me a few days later after she finished it, and she's like, "Dad, these are really good." I said, "Well, thank you." She says, "No, I mean really." I think she didn't realize that, you know, having grown up with it, you kind of get complacent, comfortable with it.
To what extent do you balance the, you know, fiction, TV, movie thing with every other part of life for your family? To me, this is kind of a key question. Everybody needs to be deliberate, intentional in how they balance this all out in their family life. You know, how much do we spend in the Word of God? How much do we spend church activities? How much do we spend in terms of our just day-to-day life?
Wow, Kevin, that is a $1 million question. Now, of course, my children are all grown and having kids of their own, so it's less of a daily concern for me, other than the fact that I have those same concerns for my grandkids now, and even more so because we have become a world of entertainment. But when my kids were young, we just really tried to temper how much they would partake in that. And then one of the things I really worked hard on with my kids is, you know, censorship is... We were, of course, very careful about what they did, but there's a line there where they had to be exposed to some degree. And so what I did is made sure that we analyzed those stories, whether they were a movie or a book, and where they analyzed those and understood the message. You know, once you understand the message and what the intent is of the person that's conveying that message, I don't think you're as easily deceived or caught unaware. And so that was a big part of our training them into being wise about what the world was trying to spill into them.
Yeah, I think a big part of interacting with our kids is to have those conversations after we've watched the movies and read the books. Otherwise, there isn't that connection to reality. You know, you're lost in the metaphor if you're just kind of having your own existentialistic, isolationistic experience with the fiction or the music or whatever it is. But to have conversations afterwards breaks the spell, but also, I don't know, brings a critical, discerning spirit to bear, and also draws those lines between the story itself and our real reality, the real spiritual warfare that we're in right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think for young people, it's just really critical that they mature in it with a discerning spirit. I remember we came home from a movie that was, it was a good, wholesome movie, but there were some messages in there that weren't so great. And I told the kids, "Guys, we just need to talk about a few things here." So we sat down and we talked it and analyzed it, what was good about it, what was really not scripturally about it. And afterwards, my 13-year-old daughter looked up at me and she says, "Dad, you just ruin everything." And I said, "Well, you know, honey, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but it's my job to help you be discerning about these messages. So it's okay if that costs a little."
Yeah. Let's talk about your current project, the Star-Lord Legacy. I guess, is that more of a science fiction thing?
It is. Yep, it really is. And I think Christian science fiction is pretty challenging to pull off. But again, there was that series in between The Wars of the Realm, which is a spiritual warfare series, non-allegorical, kind of a cross between like a Frank Peretti and a CIA, you know, espionage thriller. As I contemplated science fiction, because I grew up loving science fiction, but as I got older and read the more current science fiction, I became incredibly disappointed and had to quit because of the content. And so now, as an adult with kids that are enjoying, you know, the world of science fiction, I thought, how can I pull this off and still teach the powerful messages in scripture through science fiction? And again, allegory was the answer. It just I stumbled upon that, really. It took a couple years of development, and I realized that through allegory I could retell the entire story of mankind from the perspective of scripture again, and pull it off without being corny, you know, and at least that's my attempt. And so that's really where this series has led me, is an allegory of the Bible in another galaxy.
So many other young people out there, you know, graduate from their homeschool and they want to launch into a career of writing. What can you say to them? I know this is pretty common, you know. They've had a sure. fairly strong liberal arts preparation, and they see themselves as maybe a future writer. What kind of advice would you give them?
Sure. I do get that question quite often, especially at the conferences across the country. And the first thing I tell them is make sure that your calling is from the Lord, and it's not just a selfish desire. And I think for most young people that love the Lord, you know, God gives us our passions for a reason. So I had a number of different messages. The first one is think long and hard about your message, just like we were talking about earlier. Every single book, every story, every movie, every song has a message, and you need to make sure that that message is God-honoring. So think long and hard about what you're trying to convey. And then on a practical level, really, I would just say you really need to study the craft and be honest with yourself. Be honest with, has God first given you that passion from a spiritual place, and second of all, He's given you a gift and a talent to do it well. And if not, that can be developed, of course, and to a large degree. But I really try hard not to fall in love with my own writing. In fact, I'm usually my own worst critic, and that just helps me continue to aspire to write better and better each time I sit down. So,
do you re-edit your stuff on a regular basis?
Oh, multiple times, dozens of times. It's by the time I'm done with my book, I'm pretty sick of it.
Yeah. That's my rule, is by the time I'm ready to throw the whole thing in the wastebasket, that's when I publish.
Yeah, that's about right.
So, all right. It's one of the most humbling things to write, isn't it, at the end of the day? Because you go back to it 3 months later and you say, that's not going to work.
Yes, yes. It's a grueling process, and it is incredibly humbling in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you grow and develop and mature, even at 58, you look back and, you know, you kind of wish you'd done things a little differently. But in the end, the Lord can use the flawed and the humble and the weak to pull off what He needs to accomplish.
So. What is the fundamental basic descriptives of, what are the fundamental descriptives of good writing or a good story? What are you looking for?
A number of really key elements. Again, I'd start with the message. You know, that message has got to be solid, a really solid message that points to truth. And then, of course, they're just the basic elements. It's got to have fantastic character development. Really, it comes down to, are these characters believable, and do you care about them enough to walk with them through their story? So character development is huge and key. I'd say top on my list also is plot development. Nothing ruins a story faster than a flawed plot, even if it's in one or two places. If I come across that, I'm just done with it. And so I really analyze over and over. And I when I hand them to my beta readers, I say, I want you to find the plot flaws, because I know there's probably some in here I missed, and we will fix them until it's right. So dialogue is also a big part of it, especially in fiction. You know, dialogue is oftentimes really difficult to pull off. So I tell young aspiring writers, when you read a book, read with an analytical mind, and make sure that you're processing how are they analyzing, or how are they actually writing the dialogue? Is it believable? Is it something that doesn't pull you away from the heart of the story? Is it something that adds to it? So those are probably the basic fundamentals, you know, and obviously you got the whole story mountain with plot points and climax and, you know, resolution and that sort of thing. But it all, at the end of the day, people ask me, you know, are you a plot writer or are you a character writer? And I start out as plot driven, but about halfway through every book I've ever written, it transitions to character, and it's because I get to know those characters, and sometimes those characters will take me in a different direction plot wise than what I'd originally intended, because they're just they've become believable to me.
Is the character development more important than the plot?
You know, that is a tough one. It probably comes down to what your message is. but I think, I don't know, probably a 50-50. I think you got to knock it out of the park with both of them if it's going to be a really good story.
Now, so much of the plot is going to be working on the character of the protagonists themselves. You know, so much of the development of the character of the people is going to be a product of the plot, right? I mean, that's going to show itself. Even as in real life, we go through massive trials and tribulations, and it forms us. Yes. And develops us along the way.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And in a fictional story, you can use that to do some pretty dynamic things with your character. And then oftentimes, too, characters can construct plot for you as well. And so there's really a synergy between the two of them that has to happen well.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Black has been my guest on this edition of the program, and you can get his information at chuckblack.com. His books are available everywhere, Amazon, and his website as well. And the books are the Kingdom series, the Knight series, the Wars of the Realm trilogy, all of these available through chuckblack.com or Amazon. Chuck, thanks so much for joining us on Generations today. Hopefully this has been an encouragement to others who may be looking at developing some fiction on their own.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.